Welcome to the PI Podcast, Political Insights for the Palaging Inis. I'm your host, Matt, and with me is my co-host, political scientist, meme lord, with the approval of 9 out of 10 nerds, Borge.
You know what? I would probably agree with that one. Okay, PI nyo, PI nating lahat, Borge at your service.
Yes, and thank you for bearing with us and apologies for the long hiatus. Yeah. Borge, what were we doing
in the
hiatus?
I think this was a prolonged hiatus. We got chased down by our papers. We got chased down by our papers.
But
classes. Jesus.
Yes, class. We're back to teaching. We're back to writing. Of course, in our own respective PhD endeavors. But at least now we finally found some free time to do it and get back in the saddle. Of course, we made some major progress in our own research. Thank God for that. But for this episode, it came to our attention that we made a few indelicate and careless statements regarding survey research. There was this, I think it was, what was it, Slice of PI?
Yeah, it was one of our slices I think 2 years ago, where we tackled.
In 2021.
Yeah, survey research.
Yeah, I think it was a listener question. And normally we don't really talk about things that we're not intimately familiar with, at least not as intimately as most experts in our field and in our guests, which we'll bring on later. But we tried to do it as best we can. And we quickly commented on it, tried to be as careful as we did. And we still made some mistakes. First of all, I think our listener asked us like on the validity and the significance of survey research, particularly with the upcoming Philippine elections. And we tried, based on our memory, at least, well, I can speak for my own mistakes. We kind of said that certain survey did not predict certain candidates from winning, like, for example, like Grace Poe in the senatorial elections and in I think Duterte in the 2016 national elections. But all of you checked the latest survey just before the elections, they actually predicted it. So I was talking more about the survey before that. So apparently we double checked and we consulted with a few of our colleagues, and the surveys actually have a good record in predicting the winners of the elections, you know, in Philippine elections. So, yeah. How about you, Borge? Do you have anything to say about that?
Statements were made that were bound for misinterpretation. So, yes. Again, we apologize for those who were offended by it. And hence, we have a full episode on survey research. So, long time coming, actually. So, this is good.
Yes. Yeah, again, apologies for that. Hindi tayo perfecto, you know, but we're willing to learn. And I think it's important to do this in public, you know. I think everyone should also learn to be teachable and be humble when we make mistakes. And honestly, admittedly, survey research is not our strong suit, you know, mine, not mine. Maybe, but, you know, Borge, what can you say about survey research?
I'm just a user of survey. The last survey I conducted was way back during my undergrad, but yes, so. Mm-hmm. Now we have an actual expert on survey research to help us clarify certain matters on this crucial part, really, of connecting political science with the public. So this is one of the primary bridges, really. So it is bound to be tackled in more detail. So now we're doing it after our hiatus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So without further ado, let's introduce our very esteemed guest. So he is currently the director of the LaSalle Institute of Governance, the editor-in-chief of the Asia-Pacific Social Science Review, a journal, a very respected journal. And then, of course, an awardee of the 2022 Achievement Award of the National Research Council of the Philippines, a professor, of course, at De La Salle University in our Department of Political Science and Development Studies. But most importantly, you know, he is a professional survey researcher, has conducted a lot of surveys in the regional level, the national level, and the international level. So, of course, he has gone into the trenches, and he will help us guide us through this important tool for social sciences. Please welcome Dr. Ador Torneo. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Hi, hi, good evening, Matt and Borge.
Magandang
good evening.
gabi.
Please call me Adore.
Magandang
Yes,
gabi, Adore. Yeah.
Okay. So my name is Adore, no? I'm Adore, and I do surveys. I used to do professional surveys on the side, no? Before I assumed the position in the LaSalle Institute of Governance. So this
Yes.
includes government surveys, surveys for international development organizations, also a bit of political polls, no? And my work has revolved around doing surveys for both government and non-government organizations. And I've also provided some technical advice in conducting surveys for some private organizations that run political polls. So I will have to say that the opinions that I'm going to express tonight do not in any way represent the views and opinions of any of the organizations I'm affiliated with, including De La Salle University and the other two organizations. This is mostly based on my experience, no, as a somebody who's involved in survey research, and wanted to make the disclaimer.
Okay.
A seasoned veteran, yeah.
Yes. But since you've mentioned that your extensive experience, maybe you can elaborate on what kinds of topics and issues that surveys are used in, at least based on your experience.
Yes, there's a lot of different kinds of surveys. No, some of the surveys that I've done, for example, involve collecting information regarding water usage, water consumption, water sources, no, for rural areas in the Philippines. I've also been involved in designing and executing a national housing survey for one government-owned and controlled corporation. I've also been involved in running customer satisfaction surveys. I've been involved in running surveys for migrant groups, no, Filipino outbound migrants, as well as migrant groups that reside in other countries, for example, in South Korea. So I've also designed some implemented some political surveys similar to what you see, no, for some private organizations. Yeah, those are kinds, very different kinds of surveys for different kinds of purposes.
Okay, okay. Na-curious tuloy ako, may tanong lang. Nag-manual data gathering kayo, yung kumakatok-katok sa pintuan.
Ah, yes. Oo.
Yung?
I've done surveys na, no, talaga yung mano-mano.
Mano-mano,
no,
yeah.
On the field, house to house, mga, I've run some surveys in Tondo, yeah. Baseco area. No,
wow.
We've also done surveys using technology tawag nila CAPI, no, para computer aided or assisted na tools, no, running surveys. And I've done online surveys as well as telephone surveys.
Yun.
So different approaches, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Masasabi ko lang sa ating mga tagapakinig, pag meron pong kumakatok at nagse-survey, kung ayaw niyong sagutin, pasabi na lang mo. Mahirap pong mano. Mahirap pong ma-snap.
Oh, wow.
Kasi ganun nangyari sa akin. Ha? I did my survey sa Pateros. Eh. So, kainitan ng araw. Kakatok ka. Nandun na yung tao sa loob. Eh. Kitang-kita mo kasi bukas pintuan. Eh. Wala. Di pinapansin. So, kung ayaw niyo pong sumali sa survey, pakisabi na lang po na hindi.
Okay lang. Basta may token. Oh, di ba? Pagkatapos. Yeah. Like, salamat.
Pasabi ng hindi para makamove on na kami. Sa bahay.
I agree. Mahirap talaga mag-survey.
Yeah.
So, as someone who's done survey research, like maybe you can make a comment on maybe the general impressions the public has, and maybe some misconceptions, and how would you comment on these misconceptions? You know, what people get wrong about surveys, especially political surveys, which we are all, how you say, invested in looking at. You know, we all, especially during the elections. So, yeah. What can you say about that, sir?
Okay. Sige. Number one, this is, many people are familiar with surveys. Most Filipinos, for example, are familiar with surveys, and this is not true only for Filipinos. Surveys are used widely in many aspects of our lives. Government-run surveys, news organizations, business organizations. So during elections, we are also bombarded with information coming from surveys from different organizations. But one of the most common misconception, I think I need to address this squarely, is that surveys are predictive tools. No, surveys are actually not designed to be predictive tools. At least that's my opinion. No, basically, Surveys are systematic. It's a systematic approach for collecting information, no, from people by asking them to respond or answer the standardized set of prompts or questions in survey questionnaires. It is very old, very, very old. It's ancient time, ancient Egypt were doing census. But yun lang. The purpose of that is to collect information, typically on some recordable, oftentimes measurable aspect of a human characteristic or behavior, belief, preferences. But that is the purpose of that, no? Is to collect information on that, measure of that, and make sense of that. Hindi yung prediction, no? It's not meant to be a predicted tool. At least that's as far as I understand surveys. Number one misconception.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like to emphasize yung surveys had been, yeah, yung nabanggit yung regarding census. Naalala ko tuloy yung case with the, I think it was William the Conqueror. The moment he took power in England during that time, ang una niyang pina commission would actually be a census to take stock of what he newly owns. So, yeah, I mentioned earlier that surveys right now is an important tool linking political science and ordinary citizens. Dagdag ko na lang, it's also an essential tool for state building, really. It's a part of politics itself.
Rami, mga actually, examples niyo, ancient Egypt and William the Conqueror. Anyway, see, sir, is Ador, you're saying something?
Yes, ancient Egypt, probably ancient Mesopotamia. Yeah. Oh, it's almost as old as civilization itself, no? When communities, kingdoms are established, kasi they were collecting information on their constituents for purposes of taxation, raising armies. Merong ka-partner ang survey. Part of, as you said, di ba, instrumento ng state, part of state building and state administration. Kasabayan ng surveys ang statistics. So the growth of surveys and statistics almost came hand in hand, which is also the reason why a lot of statistical analysis is actually applied to using ano no supplied survey data. So dagdag ko lang yung kanina no, sabi ko many people are familiar with surveys, but especially when it comes to political polls, they think it's parang a way, it's like a crystal ball to predict the results of elections, but that's not the original purpose of surveys. But of course we often see surveys being used in this way, no, predict to predict the results, especially of elections, no, but it's not limited to elections. Ginagamit din siya minsan pang predict, for example, sa economic growth. Surveys of economists trying to predict the outcome. But prediction is usually ano, associated with political surveys or political polls during, before and after, during and before elections.
Yeah.
Actually, not just prediction, but also to establish legitimacy, you know, like approval ratings. I think a lot of people, actually were surprised, you know, when Duterte had consistently high approval ratings despite the issues. You know, what can you say about that, Serdar? Like, what the, like that as a survey as a means of establishing legitimacy of a maybe an administration or whatever, or a policy even, not to mean a person.
Kasi yun nga eh. Surveys are used for a lot of purposes, no? To measure, nabanggit ko kanina, one of the things I use surveys for is to measure customer satisfaction. People also use it to measure satisfaction with, for example, government leaders, specific government leaders or officials, government services. No, when it comes to legitimacy, well, post-election, nabanggit ko kanina, no? Surveys are also done post-election. For example, teka, exit poll, satisfaction, trust, approval ratings, no? These are widely utilized to gauge public sentiments, no? Whether or not it is used actually for the purpose of legitimacy building, I'm not sure. I don't think it's purposive, no, or intended for that purpose. But it is used to gauge or capture at least people's opinions, attitudes towards, for example, government or certain things at even periods in time. Whether or not the other actors use it for legitimacy building and other purpose, ay hindi po yan kagagawa ng mga organizations na nagraran ng survey.
Yes. Yes.
It's the ones that consume and utilize the survey data.
Yeah. Ano kasi may certain allurang numbers eh, because it's clean. It's very clean and simplistic.
Yeah.
And there's a certain allure to it.
Yeah. Well, because numbers are very powerful, actually, and very ancient, you know, and I think it's important to, when you gather these numbers, they have to be done well. So I think we can try and get to maybe the basic principles, you know. So Dr. Torneo, what are the basic principles of survey research, and what should we take into account when trying to do survey well? How do you do it properly?
Okay, principles of survey research. No? I looked it up. No, some textbooks of survey research. Hindi ko nakita ang kompletong listahan talaga principles of survey research. Most textbooks actually focus on procedures, assumptions of survey research. But at least let me offer some of my personal take, no, based on my limited knowledge and experience in running some surveys at least. Number one, surveys research. Surveys are premised on the assumption that some aspect of the human condition, halimbawa yung knowledge, experience, opinion, preference, behavior of people can be captured and measured using survey instruments or questionnaires. So for this purpose, many survey researchers have developed, tested, and refined some kind of system of capturing this information using prompts, questions, responses, different kind of instruments, tools, and technologies. Actually, yan yung basis, for example, ng tinatawag na field of psychometrics. It's a field of study within psychology concerned with the theory and techniques of measurement. Kailangan ko idagdag, obviously, and we acknowledge that there are limitations when trying to measure these aspects of human, you know, the human person. Second is, kung gaano ka valid, the quality of information, how valid it is, how reliable, how precise, how accurate the data captured by surveys are to a very large degree dependent on the quality of the instruments that you use and the process that you administer them. We call them survey protocols. This is why professional survey researchers don't just go about running any survey or hastily putting together questions. Survey procedures are purposefully designed, carefully tested, evaluated, and refined in order to ensure that good quality and valid, reliable data is collected. Third one is because surveys often collect data from a subset of the population, tawag ng sample. No? The quality of the data and the kind of inference we can draw from analyzing that data or information is influenced by who actually participates in the survey and how they were selected.
Okay.
No? So along with other things, we call them, for example, response rates. How many people were invited? How many actually participated? And other things influence whether or not the information that you get can be generalizable, if they are representative, the degree of the errors, the bias, and other characteristics of the data. Kaya, very important principle is survey researchers must carefully plan and design their sampling methods. They must test them. No, refine them, manage how they administer the instrument to ensure that bias and errors, problems in the data are reduced and to increase the likelihood that they are actually capturing the data they intended to capture. Maybe last two, no? Fourth, survey research, just like any other social scientific research method, are premised on the belief that now, respondents, the people that you interview, the people that you survey, are giving truthful and correct responses to the best of their ability. Of course, this involves people. Ito yung complicated na part, no? People have very human tendencies, including, for example, they may have difficulty or limitation in understanding complex questions or questions that are not in their native language. They may have what they call social desirability bias. They may don't want to be judged. They want to be liked, no? Even by the survey, the one that's conducting the survey interview. They have memory or memory limitations. Recall that if you survey them or ask them questions pertaining to what they did or what they thought at a certain period back in time, they may not remember it accurately. They may even filter their response. No? They can under-report, over-report. They can withhold the information. No? They can be influenced by bias, partisanship. They can even be, manipulated, and all of these things are very, these are characteristics of people that can impact the quality and accuracy of the responses. That's why we try to design instruments and procedures to minimize these potential problems. And even then, even the best design surveys may not be able to deal with all of them. No, but you know, we try, we try. And then last is very important. The primary unit of data collection in surveys is really individuals. No? It's possible to surveys for groups and organizations for you to aggregate the data, but the primary unit of data collection in surveys are individuals, and that's where the quality of data is highest. No,
Ang mahirap dyan kapag, lalo na kapag yung karaniwang sagot ng Pilipino kapag like, saan ayon ka ba dito? Ganyan? Tapos sabi nila, sakto lang. Parang, paano, how would you encode that?
Being safe is a coping mechanism. No? Being safe. Responses.
Borge, anything you want to say about?
Anong masasabi niyo sa mga FB survey?
FB survey,
survey, online survey, internet surveys, saka yung mga email blasts, asking answers, survey question. So, I would have to say na these are emerging kinds of surveys, especially convenient, lower cost. Some would say also efficient. But these are relatively new, no? They are not as tried and tested as the other methods, yung parang field work, random sampling, types of surveys. So I will say that these kinds of surveys can also get useful information, but they suffer from certain limitations that are inherent to the methodology that is used to administer them, namely online. So, bitin lang, concrete example, yung tinatawag na self-selection bias. So, yung self-selection, essentially. So, people who participate in the survey are the ones who opt in. No? And, for example, if you run a political survey using Facebook, typically, the ones who are most likely to respond are either the people who you are close to, people who know you, or people who strongly feel for or against a particular the particular issue that you are asking about. So the thing is, this may not actually be representative of how the typical person, the typical Filipino thinks, but they might respect yung parang more extreme kinds of view or strong feelings or reactions. So yon, dapat we should be very cognizant of this possibility.
Which I think brings it to a very important concept, maybe two related concepts, actually. Number one, of course, maybe you can tell our listeners what are important notes on how to properly sample, or sampling. Yeah. How do you conduct sampling properly? And second, I think this is related, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a related concept is the margin of error. In fact, I remember, speaking of internet surveys, I think there was this one candidate last elections where Montemayor claimed that his internet survey had 0% margin of error. Like, wow, okay, is that possible? I don't know. Maybe you can talk about that. And how do we deal with that concept of margin of error, which I think people use that to question surveys. Like, there's a margin of error, it's not real or something. What can you say about that? Yeah.
Okay, so let's dissect those ideas one at a time. So the first one is you can conduct surveys. There are two ways to conduct surveys. One is surveys, population surveys, which means that you are surveying everyone. And then number one are surveys that use a sample or just a subset of the population that you want to study. So if your group is small enough, let's say it's 300 people, 500 people, one barangay maybe, it's possible actually to do a population survey. So pag population survey yan, everybody is included. So generally, we say na walang margin of error dyan because everybody participated. No? But the more common use of survey actually is using samples. samples or subsets of the population that you want to study. And samples are surveyed because usually it is difficult, costly, or inefficient to survey the entire population. For example, there are 110 million Filipinos. No, it's impossible. Even national government, when it runs census, do not survey 100% of that 110 million. So they only select a subset. Now, this is related to the other concept that you mentioned, sampling. Yung tinatawag na sampling is the process by which you select who is going to be included in your survey. Okay, so there are two ways to do this, no? The first one is called probability sampling or random sampling methods.
Yep.
The second one is called non-probability sampling methods or non-random sampling methods. Just to keep it short, no? Random sampling is generally designed in order to reduce the bias, reduce the errors in the data, and is typically the preferred method if you want to come up with representative samples, meaning samples that better reflect the characteristic of that group that you want to study. We call that population. No, yon. And then you can draw the pagka ganito, if you use random sampling methods, if they're well designed and well executed, many people would agree that it's possible to extend the inferences that you can draw from the data you collect from them to the general population, subject to the margin of error, which I will mention later. No, the other one, non-random sampling methods are methods that are ano, no, they are do not require you to randomly select the participants or respondents in your survey. There are many kinds of that. No, may cluster sampling, merong convenient sampling, snowball sampling, or proposive sampling. So these are ano, no, these are if your aim is representativeness and generalizability and errors, these are less reliable compared to random sampling methods, but they also have their place. For example, proposive sampling, you deliberately select people who will participate in your survey based on carefully designed criteria, can actually draw very useful insights and informations about information about this group. So that can also has its own particular uses. Now, margin of error is a concept, no, that yun nga, even if you collect information, because you're collecting information from a sample instead of the entire population, the answer that you get may not be 100% reflect, you know, whatever attitudes, preferences, or characteristics of the population that you want to study. But if you utilize a carefully designed and implemented random sampling method or probability sampling method, it is possible to for you to estimate to what degree your results are likely to reflect that of the general population. The difference is the margin of error. No, I'm not a statistician, so I cannot explain it in statistical terms. But the general principle is like this. No, the larger the sample, the closer the size of the sample or the number of the participants to the number or to the size of the population that you want to study, the smaller the margin of error. Okay? And the smaller the smaller, no, the sample size that you want, the bigger the difference between it and the population that you want to study, the ano, no, the larger the margin of error. So kaya yung mga surveys, nationally representative surveys, typically utilize somewhere between 1,200 respondents to 1,500 respondents. So if these are well executed, it's possible for you to that the information you get from these 1,200 respondents may reflect national sentiments or preferences with a margin of error of maybe around plus or minus 3%. Ayun. So pwedeng yung nakuha mo na information, maybe ano no, either 3% higher or 3% lower than what the national you know, if you surveyed everyone, that was what it would reflect, no? Pwedeng mas mataas ka by 3% o mas mababa ka ng 3%.
Okay. So in general, a valid survey would have what range of margin of error? And then is it possible like the number margin of error might be like too high, or like when is it no longer valid? Like how do you tell based on the concept of margin of error?
Ibang konsepto kasi yung validity, no? It's validity is a different kind of concept, no? I think the principle that's utilized when talking about margin of errors is what is an acceptable margin of error.
Okay.
Okay, so typically in national political polls, no? Polls that are election related polls. Ang pinakamababa usually na ginagamit for national surveys is usually plus or minus 3%. That would be around 1,200 respondents, which are nationally representative, using multi-stage random, systematic random sampling, no, or stratified random sampling. So, is it ano, no? Is it acceptable? So, from practice, from observation, we know that many polling organizations tend to use this as a benchmark, as a minimum for their national pre-election surveys. Bakit? Kasi, you know, the result that you get it's easy to get 1,200 respondents. You can run survey within a week. You can get results immediately. And the result that you get is not so bad, no? If you get, for example, a certain percentage, let's say 57% of the survey respondents expressed preference for candidate A, you know that the actual preference, no, to some degree, no, you are confident that the preference at the national level for candidate A is plus or minus 3%. Either higher or lower than 57%. So the actual preference, no, by national population of voters might be actually 60% or 54%. No, sabi ng isang kulig dati, no, tsaka ng statistics teacher ko rin. So ilan yun talagang ano, no? Kung nakuha mo sa survey with 1,200 respondents ay 57, how many actually prefer that candidate? Because you use sample and not the population, you don't know. Sabi nga, nobody knows. Perhaps only God knows, no? But you are, ano, no? If you utilize random sampling methods, you can be confident. Normally, 95% level confident that the response that you get is between 54 to 60. That is preference for candidate A.
Okay.
Not sure. Is there any other question? Did I miss anything there in that question?
Just to be clear now, the margin of error isn't about being necessarily like how wrong it is or right, but it's more on expression of the limitation of the tool. So it's like when people see his margin of error, it's like, oh, mali yan, diba? Like, or it's like a score,
It's the degree to which, the degree to which, it's the range actually of tells you the upper limit and the lower limit. No, it tells you the range by which the result that you get, probably lies between these numbers. No, so for example, typically in nabanggit ko na kanina, pag 1,200, usually plus or minus 3%. Kapag 1,500, mga plus or minus 2.5%. If you want a 1% margin of error, I think around 10,000 respondents. So if you have 10,000 respondents, your margin of error is plus or minus 1. So if you get, let's say, 57% said they prefer a candidate A, no, it is highly likely that either the percentage of voters who prefer candidate A is between 56 to 58. So this significantly narrows down, no, narrows down that range and increases the sort of ano, no, parang accuracy, no, so to speak, no, of your survey. So yon. Ang problema lang, 10,000 respondents are hard to survey.
Right.
It's very expensive and costly. By the time that you collect 10,000 respondents, a long time may have passed and conditions may have changed. So yeah, that's the reason why halos walang gumagawa ng survey na 10,000 for election polls.
Okay.
They usually cap it at 5,000, usually.
Borj, anything to say at this point?
Yes, siguro from the perspective of an ordinary citizen. Kasi again, as I've said, numbers are alluring because they're simple. But again, it's deceivingly simple. There are nuances that can discomfort people. Kaya masyadong malaking weight na naibigay, probably, with the issue of margin of error. Kasi it's a far more complicated issue tied with sampling. And of course, the distribution of the probability of that the answer is actually reflective of basically the entire population. I think something that I would like to lift out of what you stated regarding the issue of inference. So yes, for our listeners, regarding that one, what can they infer or how should they infer something from survey results? How should they infer something from?
How should they infer? No? I'm gonna go with the definition of inference as tendency to suggest to take the definition of inference as knowing something that you don't know based on what you know. Right? Well, that's one definition. No? That's King Kuhain and Verba's definition of inference. I cannot kasi what you infer from the information, yun nga, sabi ko kanina, the primary purpose of surveys is to try to capture and to measure whenever possible some kind of aspect or some aspect or characteristic of people, no? So can be knowledge, belief, opinion, feelings, behavior, preferences, no? That includes also their political preferences or political sentiments or attitude. The thing is, there are limitations to the tool. No? Talked about margin of errors earlier. I've also talked about limitations, for example, that yun nga, social desirability bias, they can withhold information, etc., etc. No? But assuming that people are truthfully giving information to the best of their knowledge, assuming that surveys are carefully designed, well designed, and that they're able to capture that information to a very high degree, no? Assuming that it is well executed, no? Sampling, it's representative, everything. At best, surveys can give you a snapshot of what people had been thinking about at the time that the survey was conducted. Okay, it's very good in terms of giving us a snapshot, no, of the things that I mentioned. So it gives you very useful yan for insights because it helps us understand the sentiments of other people, no, larger groups of people. For example, we can get a sense of the national sentiment. No, or we can also look at the sentiment of a particular socioeconomic class. For example, socioeconomic class, people belonging to socioeconomic class C, C, D, and E. It is a very good idea. Yeah. No, even knowing the limitations,
right,
it gives us information on something that we would not otherwise know. Uh-huh. That can itself be useful, right?
Right.
But yeah, sige, Matt, you want to say something?
I just remember there's this news item last year when they were doing the survey, the polling surveys. There are some people that were saying that they had zero, they could not capture any respondents from class A, and they only started class B. So I'm like, people are saying, so is that, does that mean that survey is still valid or something? Because I remember I saw the interview and they were like saying they couldn't find anyone from class A. So what can you say about that survey, sir? Like, does that make it invalid or they're just no class A? I mean, it is funny actually. I mean, konti lang talaga yung mayaman sa Pilipinas ngayon, di ba? So,
I don't know. Yung mga mayaman kasi hindi mo basta-basta masasurvey. In my own experience kasi, people who live in gated communities, typically are very difficult to survey. Nandun pa lang, nandun ka pa lang sa labas, yung may enumerator mo, haharangin ka na ng security. So, private subdivisions, exclusive condominiums are very difficult to survey people who are residing. But many polls, many surveys are actually done house to house. But, you know, that's one limitation. So the implication of that is probably if you don't have enough respondents from, say, socioeconomic class A, then you would not have sufficient information to actually ano no to show what are the preferences, say political preferences or opinions of socioeconomic class A. So ano yan, it's tied to the margin of error. No, if you have a very small number of respondents or participants from socioeconomic class A, the margin of error tends to be very, very high. I will not say that the result is not valid, but the result is not very useful. For example, if your margin of error is plus or minus 20%, plus or minus 10%, that's kind of not very useful. I'll give you a concrete example. Ganito. Halimbawa, sabihin natin na the margin of error that you get, no, is plus or minus 10%. And then I'm gonna use again my example. Candidate A. Candidate A got 57% a preference, no, from your limited number of respondents. And then candidate B got the remaining 43%. But because the margin of error is plus or minus 10, no, so how many people actually will vote for candidate A? How many actually prefer him? Either is 57 plus 10, that's 67, or 57 minus 10, 47. But you don't know who's actually leading. It could be candidate A, it could be candidate B. Is the result valid? Well, as far as if the survey administration methods, instruments are good, probably validly reflects the preferences of those who are surveyed. But is it useful for gauging the preferences of socioeconomic class A? Not very much. No, because you don't know who's actually leading. Candidate A or candidate B.
Wow. Speaking, I think you mentioned in your previous statement about the instruments, and I think, well, maybe you can comment on how do you construct a proper instrument, or you can say the survey questionnaire, you know, especially when certain questionnaires can sometimes be leading, or sometimes it could be too personal or something. So
how to frame a question.
What can you say about, what tips can you give for people in when they want to make their questionnaire and doing a proper survey?
I think the advice that I will give is consult an expert, no? Consult an expert in constructing an instrument, no? And then tell them what you want to know. For example, you can consult, sabi ko nga kanina, psychometricians, survey professionals, possibly mga also domain experts on the topic that you want to study who has a good background or experience in running surveys. So you ask them, because the technology, the science and art of constructing survey questions, kasi merong ano eh, merong technology behind it, no? How to actually design. And it's like this. There are many ways to ask a given question. Choice of wording, no? How you ask it, no? The manner of you're asking, many ways. But each of these are carefully studied, no? Those who construct surveys carefully studied it too. Minimize the potential problems that may arise. So, for example, yung sinasabi ko kanina, problems of interpretation. So, for example, if a survey instrument simple enough so that ordinary people, no, ordinary Filipinos who may not have a high level of education can easily understand it. No, the other thing is going more complicated. No, does it capture exactly what you want to capture? No, if you ask many people or you repeatedly use it, is it will it generate more or less similar results? You know, questions of validity and reliability. So normally, yung mga survey professionals tend to parang try several ways of asking a question. They usually test them. They pilot test the question. They evaluate and critique the questions, and then there are actually statistical procedures to attempt to measure the validity and reliability of survey questions or the data that you collect. So yon, this is the reason why I cannot explain very basic, because it's a technical procedure actually. Designing survey questions is a technical process that involves several steps and several stages of testing and refinement. Kapag medyo confident na sila, saka lang nila ginagamit. At least that's what professional survey researchers do.
Okay.
So yeah, so for our listening public, hindi siya isang baksakan na tanungan lang. Yeah, there's also there's pre-testing, pilot testing, of course.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you can say like maybe how many times should something be pilot test before you can officially deploy it, or maybe
based
in
on
your
experience.
Yeah, sir.
Well, the minimum number is one, no?
Or very okay.
simple.
One.
Or very simple, ano, no? For very simple questions that where there is not really much room for interpretation or misinterpretation or misunderstanding. And if you are just trying to capture very simple things, no? No, for example, how much they agree or disagree on something, no? And the question is not too complicated. So the minimum is one. But it could go on several times. No, kasi yan nga eh, you can pilot it as many times as needed until such time that you are satisfied that, you know, yung question mo already able to capture more or less what you're trying to capture. The results of your statistical testing show high levels of validity and reliability. No, if you show it and administer it to different kinds of people, their interpretation of the question, hindi na siya, they don't vary too significantly. So as to give them different parang responses or different interpretations of the question. So minimum of one, but it could be more. No? How well you designed it the first time will determine how many times you have to test it again.
Maybe just for a reference, like what was the most times you needed to pilot test before you can actually use the survey? It can go
siguro,
up to us, yeah.
Sa akin siguro, I think mga three times.
Okay.
My experience. That was the most time, especially when I was just beginning as a survey researcher. But there are, ano kasi, no, I need to add kasi, there are many items in surveys that had already been well used and well established. No, it is common actually for many survey researchers to draw questions from a data bank of survey questions. So these are already tried and tested questionnaires, tried and tested prompts or questions, survey items. So kapag ganon, normally you still test it. No, but you don't need to test and refine it several times because this had already been run. You can run, for example, if this was designed in another country or another time, you can test it in our country and our current timeline, no, and then try to see if it is the properties of the data that you collected are still good. So medyo mabilis to. One time nga lang, sabi ko. But if you're designing a survey instrument from scratch, survey questions, survey prompts, then it might take you several iterations or several trials to get it right. No, yun, mas maraming proseso.
So I think the other tip is to find a template, you know, or as much as possible, closely resembling the kind of research you want to do. Yeah.
And you hope that it's applicable, right?
Yes. Okay. All right. Borge, anything before we move?
Yeah, I think we can move to the next.
Okay.
We'll now go to politics gradually. How effective is survey research in understanding political sentiments and predicting electoral outcomes in the Philippines?
Let me divide the question into two.
Yeah.
Let me first address the first part. How effective is it in understanding political sentiments, no? As I mentioned earlier, survey research, surveys are primarily done to capture some aspect, human characteristic, human knowledge, belief, behavior, feelings, preferences. including political sentiments. Surveys are useful in giving us this kind of information. Kaya lang, to address the question of effectiveness, no, it is highly tied to how well designed and how well executed the survey is.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would have to say that in the last couple of years, no, the surveys that I encountered, the quality of the survey vary very widely, significantly. No, there are many organizations and professionals that can design, very good surveys, no, and they can generate excellent insights that I would say very effective, at least in capturing or helping us understand political sentiments. No, of course, I want to study. But at the same time, mas marami ako nakita. I've encountered more poorly designed and haphazardly executed surveys. So, madalas to, these are done by students. really undergraduate, which did not get good supervision or who lacks expertise, understandably, because they are doing surveys probably for the first time, trying to meet a requirement, no, for their political science course. Basically, they don't know the first thing about properly designing a survey instrument or running one. So the quality of the data, no, is not very good. So ganong klase, if this is the kind of survey that they do, it can be useful for them, but I don't think it's going to be very effective in fostering understanding of sentiments, political sentiments of those I survey. So, ganon, no? How effective is it? It depends on how well designed it is and how well executed.
Well, we're talking about execution. I'm just curious now. Maybe what are some of the common mistakes that even professional survey researchers still kind of do, and maybe you should watch out for, you know?
When it comes to survey administration?
Yes, yes.
Ayon, no? One of the things that we need to notice this, no? Nabanggit ko kanina yung ano. People have ano, yung tinatawag na social desirability bias. No? You are asking, when you're surveying a respondent, and you are a stranger, no? That you are meeting them for the first time, and then you're asking them to, basically, you're asking them to disclose personal information, right? So, especially during periods of, kapag masyadong controversial yung question mo, or during periods of time na masyadong mataas yung degree ng tinatawag nating political polarization. I mean, people are very strongly divided or feeling strongly for or against a particular candidate, particular issue. No, your survey respondent may actually be taking cues from you, no, on how they're going to answer the question. So yung body language mo, the tone of your voice, even yung suot mo na damit, for example, if you're wearing a shirt that is the associated with the color of a particular candidate, no, they might actually calibrate or adjust their response based on how they perceive you. No, if they perceive that you may judge them for giving a particular answer, then they might withhold or they might actually lie or calibrate the response. Ayan. If they feel that they can trust you, no, they don't feel threatened by you, then they might give you a more honest response. So we've seen this before. There had been surveys that failed to predict the results well, or failed to capture sentiments well, because these factors were not carefully into place. I would have to say, for example, yung elections in the United States between Hillary Trump and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. No, most survey organizations actually failed. They predicted that Hillary Clinton will win, but Donald Trump won. And many researchers, many experts afterwards said that the human factor may have come into play and hindi siya take into account ng mga nag-conduct ng survey. Going to the second point, yun na effectiveness of survey research in predicting outcomes. No? Nabanggit ko na rin naman yung prediction. So sabi ko nga, hindi design yung survey pang predict. It's supposed to be captured as snapshot. But whether we like it or not, it's used to predict outcomes, especially in elections. No? Yun, ganito. Let me put it this way. No? So the surveys capture a snapshot of people's political preferences or opinions at the time that it was taken. Now, if people's minds, their preferences, their feelings and behavior are fixed and they do not change, now in the future, then we can say that surveys would be very effective predictive tools for predicting future human behavior and how they will vote. But we know that this is not the case. People can and do change their minds. They change their feelings. They change their preferences depending on various conditions, internal and external. So this can be hard to predict. No, parang the survey might capture a snapshot. That snapshot might be valid today, but you know, a few days after, a few weeks after, this might no longer be the case. But at least we've come to know a few things. No, for example, some of the researches on surveys and observations and experience tell us that certain beliefs and behaviors are less likely to change over time compared to others. Of course, the thing is, the longer the time period that passes between when the information was collected from the person, kung kailan ginawa ang survey, tsaka yung pinoproject mong time in the future, the higher the likelihood that things would have changed by then. So the practical implication rather is that if you survey people about their preferred candidates today and then use this information to predict who they will vote for in an election 6 months from now, there's a very good chance that you know the results might be off, no? by a very large degree. In the Philippines, though there has been some observations that people's preferences, especially for national positions, especially president and vice president, tend to converge mga around a month before the election. Ibig sabihin, they can still change, they can still move, but they don't move, hindi na siya masyadong malaki. No? As for the reason for that, we can talk about it later. No? But yon, the closer the survey is done prior to the election, the closer the final result is, so the result of the surveys. At least that has been our observation. So are they effective in predicting? They were not made for that purpose, but if you try the surveys that had been used to predict the results of elections, but that were conducted close to the actual elections, tended to produce results that are similar to a high degree to the result of the survey. Medyo similar yung result ng election sa survey.
While we're still on that topic on elections, and maybe we can ask though, like, what have been the effects of these surveys on maybe political outcomes? You know, like proven, like, do they really affect the way people?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, I think you may affect basa preferences ng mga buwabasa ng surveys.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are very keeping an eye on the surveys, yeah.
Ano man, I address ko muna, no? Before I go there, what is the track record of surveys in the Philippines? I think I need to address this one.
Okay,
no?
Yeah.
And the last election, the last national election that we had was on May 9, 2022. That was last year. No, generally speaking, many of the professional survey organizations that ran a survey, this varied ha, kung gaano kalayo. I think position, if I'm not mistaken, was April 16 to 21, no, around that time, around 17 days. No, I could be wrong. I need to check my numbers. But many other organizations run surveys maybe a week or so or more, around within 2 weeks, give or take. No, generally speaking, very similar on results.
Pasok sa banga.
President and vice president were quite similar. For example, yun, hindi talaga nagkakalayo eh. Bongbong Marcos vote in the survey, Tsaka yung final result, quite similar. I think he got 58.77% in the election. The survey result 17 days before was 56%. Okay, for Lenny Robredo, around 27.9% ang actual na result. The initial result in the survey was 23%. Manny Pacquiao, 6.8% yung actual. The survey showed 7%. So, as you can see, hindi siya sobrang malayo. No, the winners were actually they were tama naman, similar naman yung resulta. Similar din yung sa vice president. No, this has been especially for the major polling organizations in the Philippines, SWS and PAUS Asia, has had very good track records na the last surveys that they've done prior to the election and the result of the actual election in terms of percentages, no, the share of votes, hindi siya sobrang malayo. Like, they were able to, if you use their surveys to predict the winners of the election, especially for the national position, likely you would have pareho predict nila. Siguro with the exception of the vice presidential election in 2000 and was that 2000 and this was between Bongbong and Lenny Robredo, was that 2016 vice presidential, yes. So kasi medyo magkaiba ng resulta, there is a bit of difference in the two major polling firms, but the result of the election was within the margin of error. No, doon sa isang survey medyo mataas ng konti si Bongbong, around 1%, doon sa isa mas mababa siya. But the result of the election was actually hindi ano, no, nasa margin of error kasi. So more or less ano naman, okay yung track record when it comes especially for president and vice president. When it comes to senators, medyo mas generally speaking, karamihan ng mga lumabas sa survey before the election sa magic 12 or sometimes 13, sila din naman yung nananalo doon sa election. Pero babago yung position, and some of them, some of those who were part of the magic 12 or 13 in the surveys did not make the final cut in the actual election results. I think sa 2022 election, if I am not mistaken, I need to check this, no, isa lang yata sa survey ang nawala, if it's that former Vice President George Abinay, no, but nasa sa survey yata siya, if I'm not mistaken, but Joel, nawala siya, and then Joel Villanueva, Senator Joel Villanueva actually was the one who got in. Yung ranking medyo nagbago, no. So okay, ang susunod doon na tanong mo ay, ang tanong ninyo ay, naka-apekto ba yung survey? Baka naman kaya sila nakapasok. Baka naman kaya ganun yung naging resulta ng survey ay ng eleksyon ay dahil doon sa survey. 'Di ba? Yung tanong na nasa isip ng maraming tao. Baka naman kaya ganun yung resulta ng ng eleksyon at na-influensya ng survey. So medyo hindi ko masasabi na straightforward yung relationship ng survey tsaka ng political opinions or political preferences. No, kasi on one hand, ano bang purpose ng survey? Ba para i-measure, 'di ba? Sometimes the purpose is to measure political opinions, political preference. No, but we cannot deny that there are also there is a very high likelihood that, you know, the survey results may also be directly and indirectly influencing the those opinions that it's trying to survey, at least the future ones. No, very common explanation by experts yung tinatawag nilang bandwagon effect. So when people parang nakikita na nila kung sino yung llamado, no, sino yung mga lamang sa survey, tapos malapit na yung election, no, habang palapit ng election, sino yung malakas na kandidato. People might be people might be inclined to put or hedge their bets, put their bets on the ones that are more likely to win, yung mga front runner in the survey. No, that's a very like it's a very likely possibility. No, pwede mangyari yan. It's also possible that organized groups o kaya yung mga supporters o kaya yung mga nagpa-fund, no, nagsusupport sa mga campaign, nagpa-finance sa mga elections might also shift their resources or support, no, to the ones that are leading the surveys. I mean, you know, if you are providing, you know, campaign funds or support, of course, it's possible that you want to give it to the ones that are more likely to win. So they might shift their funding or financial support to the ones that are leading the pack, so to speak. No, so of course, if they shift their political machinery and their resources, may epekto rin, no, sa mga tao, no, the political party, the political machinery might also try to calibrate their strategy so that they're able to recruit more people kasi they have more resources. On the other hand, some of our colleagues, also some experts on this topic, might also say that ano, no, yung mga Pilipino, ang tendency is actually hindi sa llamado. No, mahilig daw sa mga Pilipino actually sa underdog.
Yeah.
So, there might be some tendencies also or inclination. We can say that there are times we've observed this to be true. We don't know kasi hindi ko pa napag-aralan to, admittedly, in systematic detail. Hindi ko pa napag-aralan ng gusto, but it's possible. So it kind of counters,
yeah,
ano, no? And the other thing is this. Remember that if a candidate is not doing as well in the survey, that is also a signal to them to shift campaign strategy or to mobilize more resources, to mobilize more people. So may ganun din siya, no? Now, if they change their strategy, that can also potentially help them counteract the other forces that are shifting preferences the other candidate. So may ganun. Kaya sinasabi ko, hindi siya ganun kasimple o hindi siya ganun ano. So it can be direct, it can be indirect, no, that may epekto yung survey. It influences how the candidates themselves behave, how their campaign teams behave, no, and also how ordinary citizens or Filipinos behave. So ganon, parang napaka-dynamic dong.
Yeah,
right.
Magandang iwan na empirical question yan kasi meron na bang survey na nag-exist na meta survey? Meta survey on
survey on surveys.
Yeah, survey on surveys.
I think may mga pagsubok, may mga attempt,
yeah,
no? Parang may nakita ako. Hindi ko masyadong nabasa, but I think yan ang magandang susunod na topic, no? Siguro para sa ating mga listeners, no?
Yes, sa ating mga estudyante.
Pag sumuha ng mga thesis saka dissertation, siguro
may iba
subukan
naman
na gawa ng empirical study to, pag-aralan ng mabuti, no? Hindi lang necessary din survey ang gagawin ninyo, ha? Pero actually, you might want to do qualitative studies or qualitative research. And tanungin natin yung mga tao, ano bang epekto sa kanila pag nakikita nila yung survey? Diba? Parang anong nararamdaman nila and ano yung, paano sila nagre-react?
Yep.
No,
pwede rin gumawa
na.
Pwede rin siguro experimental. Hypothetical
pwede rin
candidates.
Experimental.
Yeah. Ang papapakita ng ano, hypothetical results. You know, paano magre-respond.
Kailangan nga may offer kong sagot. No? It's complicated. Meron tayong nakikita at na-observe ng mga resulta pero hindi pa ganun ka-establish yung siyensya at yung ebidensya tungkol dito. No,
right.
Ang alam lang natin ay hindi natin pwedeng i-deny na walang epekto yung survey sa political opinion or preference,
yes,
but whether or not this is big enough to actually, you know, make a significant difference in the long run, and how much and to what direction it influences, hindi pa natin ganun ka well established.
Yes. Well, that was a crash course in an hour of crash course on political survey research. This is very interesting. I've learned so much. You know,
nag-iwan pa tayo ng empirical question para sa mga listener natin.
It's funny though. I mean, the effects are not as straightforward, you know. In fact, I do remember some politicians trying to sue or propose that polls be bidden because nanatalo sila. Anyway, but I suppose maybe one of our last questions just to wrap things up. This is actually very useful for us as researchers, you know, and social scientists. But Siguro para sa mga karaniwang tao, madlang people, mga mamamayang Pilipino, yeah, anong masasabi natin sa kanila na dahil ang dami mga surveys, you know, of different qualities. Maybe, Dr. Renea, what can you tell our listeners? You know, how should they engage with surveys maybe? And how should they pick the right ones? And how should they use surveys? Maybe a simple user guide or that you can tell to the ordinary Filipino.
So siguro una eh ano, masasabi ko siguro sa ating mga listeners, sa ating mga kababayan, ordinaryong Pilipino. Una-una, not all surveys are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned earlier, the quality of surveys vary very significantly depending mm-hmm. on who is running the survey, how they designed it, and how they actually implemented it. Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that you might want to look into if you are looking at, there are many organizations who are trying to run and who are actually running and releasing the results of their mm-hmm. surveys.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we know which one are the good ones? No,
mm-hmm.
of course we can look at their track record. No,
mm-hmm.
we can look at their track record. No, over the years. No, how close were the results that they collected? No, for example, if they conducted, assuming that the trend where surveys conducted close to the election tend to be close in terms of results to the actual result of the election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can compare the results and see the track record of these organizations. The other thing is that they need to look into the procedures that are done. No, reputable survey organizations will not hesitate to publish their methodology. No, they will not hesitate to publish the how they collected the data, no, how they sampled, selected the respondents, right? They will provide a lot of detailed information, no, so that people can assess, evaluate their survey methodology. As I said earlier, survey methodology is closely tied with survey data quality. The quality of information that you get is tied to how well the survey is designed and how well it is run. The other thing is they need to look into the people who are behind, the people who are running the surveys.
Mm.
You know, there are many people who are doing surveys in the Philippines, but not all of them have the training, have the expertise, have the track record of actually conducting professional surveys. No, there are also some organizations that present themselves as survey organizations when in fact they are, parang they're running campaigns. No, they are running basically public relations or campaign. So. In this case, we should be very critical of which kind of information or which kind of survey we need to look into. So yon, look at the people behind them. Do they have the expertise? Do they have the track record? Look at their methodology. If you cannot assess methodology, then ask people who at least are familiar with surveys and ask them, is the methodology sound? No, is it a good methodology? And then look at their track record. Do they have a good track record in running surveys? Yeah. And of course, the last one siguro is also look at potential conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
No, potential conflicts of interest. As much as possible, no, we need to look out for potential conflicts of interest between the people who are running the survey, between the people who are commissioning the survey and the survey results. Kasi, there's a danger that conflict of interest might skew the way that surveys are administered and designed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we should also take into consideration. I think how should we make use of surveys? We should look at surveys as as a very useful resource.
Mm-hmm.
We should look at surveys as a very useful resource that gives us it lets us know the things that we would not otherwise know.
Mm-hmm.
No, for example, how people, who is the preferred candidate of particular people in a given mm-hmm. region? How satisfied are people with the performance of a particular government agency or a government official? Right? What are the greatest, most urgent concerns of people at a given period in time? These are very useful information. No, kasi a lot of us only know things that about ourselves, about our immediate family, about our immediate community. But we don't know what's going on with everybody else. We don't know, for example, if our concerns, our challenges is just limited to us. This is something that is shared by a large number of people. These are things that we don't know. So surveys are very valuable because they give us insights, no, about these things. Otherwise, you would not have that. But after this, no, how do we make use of that information? That is really up to us. No, I think the unasked question is, should we use survey results, for example, pre-election surveys as a guide on who to vote for? I think that people should make up their minds on who they should vote for based on their own values and their own criteria for choosing their political leaders. No, I think most of us, I hope all of us can agree that basically voting for people or voting for particular politicians because other people are voting for that particular politician is not really an ideal use of our rights to select our political leaders. No, we should have we should have our own principles. No, we should have our own criteria on selecting who to vote for. It's a wasted opportunity for us to vote basically just by bandwagoning or joining particular candidates. Now, a different question is if you are really rooting for or supporting some kind of candidate, no, you might make use of survey data. If your candidate, for example, is not doing very well, no, maybe your candidate is not connecting with particular groups of people. For example, your candidate might be struggling to connect with socioeconomic class C, D, and E, or people who are in a particular region, but you want your candidate to win. Then, by all means, use that information to maybe, I don't know, adjust or tweak your campaign strategy. Maybe adjust how you engage people coming from these groups or from these regions. No, that maybe that can be a very useful a resource for you to help your candidate if you want them to win. No, for the rest of us, and yeah, it's a very valuable resource in giving us information and insights on what other people are thinking, feeling, and experiencing at any given moment in time. How we use that information or what that is useful is really up to us.
Very well said. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Torneo. George, anything to say to cap this episode off?
Again, maraming salamat, Ador, para sa crash course on statistics and of course survey research. Pero I would like to highlight I can leave with two messages for this one. I think I would reiterate what I said earlier on. Again, numbers are alluring because they're simplistic. Well, they appear simple, but again, don't be deceived. So survey results, they are based on far more complicated mechanisms and methods. I think it's the responsibility of those who are trying to use it to be aware about the process behind it. So, and those who are exposed to it, to be at least, the very least, to be sensitive to the nuances of the numbers. Nuances of the numbers. Last, I think, as nabanggit nga ni Ador kanina, it's a resource. It's a resource. It's a mechanism for us. I would like to add that it's a mechanism for us to understand, not really to bash people with it. So, please do not weaponize numbers. We should not weaponize numbers. Maybe survey results or basic statistics. It is meant for us to help us understand at a certain level of abstraction, a very broad sense, what's going around us. And I think my recommendations would gravitate around that one. Ikaw, Matt, any ano ka ba na tumutugo ba ilong mo ngayon?
Nalala ko tuloy yung mga C ko sa math. Ay, nako. Pero no, I mean, this is, well, this is very educational for me, and I appreciated this conversation we had.
Yeah.
Siguro, no, well, definitely, I have to reiterate that it's important to continue learning despite, well, to all never stop studying and never stop learning and always ask the experts, actually, when dealing with it. And, again, we hope to be of better service, you know, to our listeners. We'll definitely be we'll consult the experts more closely this time. When things go wrong for your political candidate or side, wag magalit sa surveys. Baka may nangyayari sa ano sa campaign mismo. Yeah, so don't blame the science, you know. Definitely, this is one of the most scientific tools we have in gaining information about, so society and social phenomenon. But so okay, so thank you very much for this discussion. Yes. So now we move on to our final segment, which is recommendations, where we ask each of our speakers to recommend maybe additional material that can help and enrich us further. Nuancing the numbers, which by the way should probably be the title of the episode. So yeah, let's move on to Dr. Torneo first. Do you have recommendations for our audience?
Number one is siguro pick up a basic textbook on research. No? Mm. Right now, what I have the survey research methods by Floyd Fowler Jr. Mm. No, I also have another survey book by Matthew Champagne. You know, that title is The Survey Playbook: How to Create the Perfect Survey. Other than this, there are a lot of actually of survey textbooks also in the library. You know, and there are several websites, you know, several organizations. For example, you can look at the Pew Research Center. That's www.pewresearch.org. You might also want to take a look at, if you want to understand how they're doing surveys, for example, in the Philippines, of course, the most popular organizations, SWS and Pulse Asia, do take the time to visit their websites, no? So that you'll get an idea about these surveys. In the government, you might want to look at that. No? Very interesting kasi the Philippine government is actually the one that conducts the most surveys, I imagine. No? The Statistics Authority. No? They conduct family income and expenditure surveys, census, labor surveys, all kinds of surveys. And they actually have a statistical almanac where a lot of these informations are compiled. So they're have very good systematic methods. And the nice thing is, they always provide technical notes about the surveys that they conducted, what questions were asked, how it was conducted, the procedures that were followed, etc. So very good, very educational. No, you'll get a really good idea of how these researches are conducted by professionals. And at the end of the day, ask your neighborhood survey teacher for additional recommended books.
Yes. We'll definitely link them down in the show notes so you can all follow them. Okay. Borge, any recommendations?
For the books, I think I recommended The Civic Culture by Almond and Verba before. I think that was one of my, again, I've been a long time user. I'm user of survey results and survey data.
Addict, no?
Medyo addict. I think it's one of the the lines that's keeping me tied with political science.
Little line.
Without that line, I'm a philosopher at this point. But one of the few lines that I have. So, but yes, I think if you want to, again, one of my primary advocacies with tackling survey results is, again, surveys are not only about presidents and, you know, political support or whatnot or candidates. Again, as Ador have emphasized, it's about understanding the psyche, the political psyche of your fellows. And it's Almond and Verba's work, Civic Culture's seminal work on political culture, political psychology. Tagdag ko na rin yung, I'll probably list or probably link one of the works of Philip Converse, specifically The Nature of Belief Systems in Mass Publics, Actually, magkasunod silang pinublish it. I think 1963 was for the civic culture, 1964 would be for the nature belief systems in mass publics.
Wow.
So, and I don't know if I should recommend this. I don't know if this is accessible, but I hope it is accessible. Democracy for Realists by Christopher Akin and Larry Bartel. So this is not only a good examination of democracy, at least for the United States, but it's a good example of effective deployment of quantitative data. Yeah. And lastly, I think just to cap off in recommendations for, you know, expanding our access to resources, I would recommend three databases that are publicly accessible. So again, if we're going to tackle survey results, again, we need to go beyond mere candidates and political support. So we can go with the Asia Barometer Survey. We would link their site, but their database right now is more easily accessible because data you need to write a request and they would send you the data. But for this one, when you do the online request, you can easily access data online as well. So indeed, it's email sales. So Asia Barometer Survey, if you want to check out data on political tendency, social capital, political values, that would be one. You also have the World Value Survey. Again, their database is also publicly accessible. Meron silang, you can also use their online summaries of data if you want to look at the items. And lastly, this is something that I discovered partially due to the LaSalle Institute of Governance. Nabanggit ni Tocador ito. The International Social Survey Program.
Wow.
So they have a series of surveys on citizenship as well as the role of government. I think they also have something on social capital. So again, survey data is there. We just need to know where to find it.
Okay. Wow. Those are really great recommendations, both of you. I'm actually a bit embarrassed because my recommendations are a bit, well, not very academic, but it's thematically related.
It's fine.
Yeah. No, one thing that I am enjoying right now, in some sense, in preparation for this episode, you know, if you're familiar with the classic game show Family Feud, where you try to guess, you know, survey says, you know, the most common answers. And I suppose that's the reverse of like survey. You have to guess what is there. There's actually a Filipino version hosted by Ding Dong Dantes. And you get to learn maybe what do people know about certain questions. I think one of my favorite episodes was, I think, between during a team Boy Abunda ata versus Team Querida, which runs like GMA. I think the question one pa lang eh, sabi nila, ano ba yung mga pinaka karaniwang chismis tungkol sa mga artista? so kuwang-kuwa niya lahat. Una-una, buntis. Pangalawa, may kerida. So it's actually a fun exercise, I suppose, with regards to like guessing instead of just guessing the nature of the surveys. That's one thing. Maybe a fun way of engaging.
And see how
surveys.
Close you are to it.
Yes, yes.
It's basically a fun way to deal with margin of errors.
Yeah. So, of course, it's an American one, but the Filipino version is very entertaining. And the other one is, I'm reminded of my old, cinephile days. You know, I discovered this film as a undergraduate by Darren Aronofsky, the director of Requiem for a Dream. One of his earlier films is Pi, as in P-I. Wow, P-I. No. Basically, is the main character is a mathematician. You know, he's obsessed with numbers, and he begins to see all the patterns. He's starting to predict the movements of the stock market. He's able to predict like the ticks of different people, and sometimes he even counts like his dosages of medicine, the time where he has certain episodes, because apparently it's a psychological thriller, and it somewhat tries to tackle the nature of numbers, but also when, like, and how beautiful it is and how things fall into a certain pattern. Definitely, numbers are there, as you mentioned. But also, if you're so fixated on numbers, it turns into, let's say, I don't want to spoil the plot, but things start to fall apart when things don't go according to the numbers or the formula. Because it kind of, the character looks at numbers in the Quran, you know, in the Talmud, you know, in the the Torah, you know, so he sees all these things. So he's able to predict things. But at the end of the day, as survey, even the conducting of surveys kind of deals with, so the human nature somehow is so sometimes so irrational, it kind of defies numbers. So numbers can help in structuring our analysis of the world, but other times, you know, humanity is bigger than numbers. So it's that tension of the theme, and it's a really good film. It's very low budget. It's one of the, again, it's kind of film schooly, but I think it's still a good watch. I think you can watch it on the internet, so I'll put the link down in the description.
Great.
So thank you again, Dr. Torneo, for being here at the PI podcast. Do you have anything to promote before we end the episode? Maybe something where they can find more of your work or... Yeah.
Thank you very much again, Matt and Borge, for having me here. No, it's a very interesting discussion. No, I'd like to thank also our listeners. No, for tuning in. It's a bit impromptu, but I hope you were able to get something from the discussions. You can check our website at the LaSalle Institute of Governance at the LaSalle University, Jesse M. Robredo Institute of Governance at www.dlsu-jrig.org if you want to see more of our activities, or look for the LaSalle Institute of Governance in Facebook. That's it for me. Thank you very much.
Ayos, maraming salamat.
Okay, and thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again maybe in another 4 months now, but we'll try to continue as much as possible. It might be less often, but definitely we'll still carry on. You can find the podcast at our usual places at Anchor, Spotify, and YouTube. If you have any discussion like suggestions or questions, you may email us at pipodcastph@gmail.com or send us a message at our Facebook page. But until the next episode,
magandang gabi, mga ka-PI.